Stories from a Hard Place is an anthology podcast. Every Thursday, R.A. Jacobson presents another story from a hard place, written and read by R.A. Jacobson. Stories of moonshine and shotguns, obsession and transcendence, love and darkness, and the blindness of human desire. Each tale follows a painful path to one ultimate realization, the devil's deal always ends badly. Listener discretion is advised, contains strong language, violence, and some adult situations. Episode 13, The Dog Walker, from A Single Round, a collection of stories from a hard place. This is part 3 of a 3-part telling.
The plan. Alfredo spent the next week online studying the Ukrainian mob, especially John Corvell. From what he could find out, Corvell was the head of an allegedly large crime organization. He couldn't really find out much, just news reports, and they were more speculation than fact, but he could read between the lines. One of the things he found out was who Corvell's right-hand man. That was the man he wanted to get to know. His name was Jack Bondar. Bondar would be the man he could make the kind of decisions that Alfredo was interested in. He found out where their clubhouse was and headed over to set his new plan in motion. Alfredo had been noticing that the effect, the forgetting, was getting stronger. It happened quicker. The people he met barely had time to even notice him before they forgot him. He thought back at the bank job. Some of those men had seen him, but not even really noticed him. He wondered if it could get any faster. If it did, it would be like he really was invisible. He walked towards the building that was the clubhouse. It was a large, 3-story brick building in an area that had been, many years ago, the wealthy area. The building looked like a very upscale private house, which it probably had been. There were 2 men casually hanging around leaning against the wall by the door. Alfredo walked towards them. They saw him and then forgot him. He walked past them. He glanced at the closest man. The man looked at Alfredo. His eyes slid off him without even registering Alfredo was there. They were confused by the door that opened and closed, but even that slipped from their minds. Inside, he stood in a large hall. It echoed. There was a lot of wood and an old marble floor. The building may have been an old hotel, or maybe an upscale apartment building some 40 years ago. It was mostly empty, and it looked abandoned. There were a couple of men walking towards the front door. They walked past him without a glance. Alfredo walked towards a large staircase in the middle of the large room. The wide wooden staircase with an ornately carved handrail curved up and to the right. The handrail was worn down to raw wood, as were the treads. It had been in use for many years. Alfredo walked up the stairs. When he got to the top, the stairs ended on a large landing with balconies leading off to his right and to his left. However, right in front of him was a large wooden set of double doors. He stepped forward and pushed the doors open. As he stepped through, several men leapt from where they were seated. Many reached for handguns in holsters under their arms. They paused, then they relaxed when they saw no one was standing in the doorway. One of the young men walked over and said something as he shut the door. Alfredo walked into the room, watching as the men returned to whatever they'd been doing before he had opened the door. He moved into the room, watching the men. It was obvious who was the boss. He sat behind a large wooden desk. The room was at one time very grand, wood-paneled walls and heavy, rich, slightly threadbare curtains and carpet. He walked to the desk and watched the man, John Corvell. He was a powerful-looking man. He was sitting leaning back in a big leather chair reading. He was a man with a large face, cruel eyes, and a hard, thin mouth. He wore an expensive three-piece suit with a very clean white shirt. His tie was loosened. He looked up straight at Alfredo, then his eyes slid past him. He looked at the man to his right. Alfred looked at the man. Alfred guessed this was Jack Bondar, literally his right-hand man. Alfredo turned his focus on this man. He was a thin, restless man with shrewd, quick eyes. He had dark hair, just a touch of gray in his temples. He, too, was dressed in an expensive suit. It was simple and clean-looking. His dark tie was knotted. This man was the true power in the room. Alfredo watched. This was the man he needed. Somehow, he had to get this man to see him. He needed to get this man to remember him. He bent forward and looked straight into the man's eyes. He didn't see Alfredo. Alfredo straightened. He hadn't been in a position to get somebody to remember him. He paced the room. He looked at the young man, all dressed in bright suits. All were young and armed. Bondar stood and said something to Corval and walked across the room. Alfredo followed. He went out of the room and walked down the hall. At the end of the hall, he turned and pushed open a door. Alfredo followed, pushing the door open before it closed. The door said men's. The room, like everything here, was tired, but still had a certain elegance. The three stalls along the right wall were made of wood with raised paneled doors and brass latches. On the left wall were four ivory, highly detailed pedestal sinks, matched with gold faucets and gold-rimmed mirrors. The window at the end of the room let in dappled light through the trees on the street below. Bondar walked to the second to the last sink and washed his hands. Alfredo walked toward him, trying to think of a way to get Bondar to see him. Maybe if he slapped him, he would notice. Alfredo didn't think so, but he would try anything at this point. Then Bondar jumped back from the mirror, yanked his gun from his coat. It was a Makarov 9mm. He aimed two-handed directly at Alfredo, but then a confused look crossed his face, and his gun lowered. It snapped up again, a dark look on his face replaced by a confused one. He pushed open the nearest stall, braced to fire. He moved to the next stall door, and the next. He lowered the gun to his side. He looked around the room. He started to put the Makarov back in its holster at the small of his back as he walked back to the sink, shaking his head, a wry smile on his lips. He reached the sink and looked in the mirror and spun the 9mm coming up in his hand, again aiming directly at Alfredo. He stood braced, looking around the room, confused. He looked into the mirror, then back in the room, the Makarov up and ready. Alfredo stepped forward a pace. Bondar looked in the mirror, tensed, the gun rising a fraction. "You can see me," Alfredo said. Bondar's brow furrowed, his eyes raced around the room, then slightly moved closer to the mirror. He glanced at the mirror. "Can you see me?" Alfredo said. After a hesitation, Bondar said, "Yes, I can see you." He looked in the mirror, glancing back into the room at the ceiling. He crouched quickly and looked under the stalls. "Where are you?" Bondar said. Alfredo laughed. "I'm right beside you." And he was. Bondar spun to the empty room, then looked back in the mirror where Alfredo was standing right beside him.
"What's going on? Who the fuck are you?"
"Can you imagine if I wanted to kill you?" Bondar pulled back, gun raised, frantically aiming around the room. "I'm here in the room with you, but you can't see me. No one can. I'm letting you see me."
"Where are you?" he screamed.
"I'm not going to kill you. I have a proposal for you." Bondar stayed braced and ready, his eyes flashing around the room. "Jack, relax. I'm not here to kill you. Come here. Look in the mirror so we can talk." Bondar seemed to get a hold of himself. He lowered the gun slightly and stepped toward the mirror. Another quick glance around the room, and he looked at Alfredo in the mirror.
"Who are you?"
he asked, working on controlling the bizarre situation. "Well, that's a question. I am someone who has a special condition that makes me uniquely qualified to provide a certain type of service, a service I am certain you need."
"Service? What are you talking about? What is it you think you know about me?"
Bondar's gun now was at his side. He was in a familiar situation, in spite of the weirdness of talking to a mirror. He was negotiating. Alfredo was impressed how fast Bondar reacquired his calm, at least outwardly. You are a very bad man, a man who needs the removal of certain obstacles.
What are you talking about? Speak clearly.
You need people killed, Alfredo said. Alfredo smiled into the mirror at himself, who smiled back.
Killed? So you kill people? Bondor asked.
Then he realized he still had his Makarov in his hand. He lifted his jacket and tucked the gun away.
In that case, I think we can do business.
He smiled at Alfredo, who smiled back. 7. A coffee. Allison picked up the shit-eating fluff ball. You want to get a coffee? Alfredo asked. Allison looked at him. Yes, that would be nice. Let me drop off the dog. Sure. They walked side by side towards Allison's apartment. Nothing was said. They just walked. Normally, this would have made Allison extremely uncomfortable. She would have filled the awkward silence with a non-stop babble, but here she was completely aware that there was silence. And just as aware, she felt it was okay. She'd never felt that kind of calm. As she noticed, she started getting nervous. Maybe she was wrong. Maybe it wasn't comfortable, and she was wrong. A scenario ran through her head, each new wrinkle in her mind adding a new worry, until she couldn't stand it. She stopped just feet from her building's door and turned to Alfredo and looked up at his gray eyes. Something there stopped whatever she was about to say. She felt her shoulders slide down from their clenched perch. She stared at him, at those calm, deep, gray eyes. And then he leaned forward and took the leash from her hand. He kissed her. She stood still, arms at her side, the noises in her head, that constant clatter that she had lived with for her entire life, silenced. She didn't notice until much later. Later, she would remember a lot of things. But just then, with her mind blank, she watched his eyes shift through shades of gray, then suddenly they were blue. A blue of ice and summer evening sky. She watched, mesmerized. "Shall we go up?" he asked. She turned and pulled her keys out, then looked back at him. His blue eyes, they were definitely blue, looked back at her, and he smiled. "Yes?" "Your eyes." "Yes." "Were they always blue?" He smiled. "Yes," he said. "I have my mother's eyes." "Oh." She smiled and walked toward the building, Alfredo and Misty by his side. 8. The first job. It was a strange conversation. Bondor leaned forward looking into the mirror, and Alfredo stood behind him. They talked about services and prices and the how and the why of the job Bondor wanted done. Alfredo knew it was a test. Bondor was still unsure, which Alfredo could easily understand. How many times did you have a conversation with a man that only appeared in a mirror, kind of a reverse vampire? What Alfredo was confused about was that he could not let Bondor see him except in the mirror. In the past, he had made some people see him, usually only people he loved, but he had worked on it. He had had some success for brief moments. Usually he used it with hotel clerks or taxi drivers. It made things easier. As they talked, he tried to let Bondor see him, even for a second. But no matter how hard he tried, Bondor could only see him in the mirror. Even that was tenuous. Bondor was squinting and concentrating hard on seeing Alfredo. Occasionally, Alfredo would say something, and Bondor would not hear. Alfredo was getting tired. It was taking more effort than he realized to maintain this connection. Bondor left and returned a few minutes later carrying a folder. He laid it down, rifled through the pages, and pulled out a photo of a man. This was Alfredo's first job. The payment was substantial. Alfredo picked up the folder and left. It was easy. Everything about it. The folder gave the details of the man. Alfredo avoided his name. He had to read it, of course. However, he put it out of his mind. If he was going to be a contract killer, then he didn't want the ghosts of his jobs to have name. Somehow, it made him feel better not to be able to name the men he would kill. The man had a fairly consistent routine. Alfredo acquired a gun and a silencer. On a cool evening, he walked to a park where the man walked his dog at 9 p.m. It was simple to walk up to the man, lift his gun, and pull the trigger. Alfredo watched the man topple backward with a perfect little hole in his forehead. He landed in the dry leaves. They jumped up around the man, and when they fell back down, they half-covered him. Alfredo stood for a second, looking down at his job. Then he turned to see a small dog come running out of the trees, followed by a very pretty girl. She fell, then she stood and saw Alfredo. She would forget him. Everyone did. It was just a second away. He turned and left the park, his job done. 9. The Man. Together, they walked into Allison's building. They smiled at each other, each aware that something had passed between them, each determined to remember every second of this beginning. They each knew it was a beginning of something profound, something unique, an equation that had finally found a true answer. In the elevator, they kissed again. Allison lost all thoughts except for this man and his blue eyes. The elevator opened. They held hands, looking at each other. Misty pulled back, away from Allison's door. They did not notice. A man stood waiting for them. He was a tall, thin man in a dark suit and a large brim hat. He was smiling. His teeth glowed in the dim hallway. "Ah, Mr. Barnes. I hope you're well. My name is Mr. August." He looked down at his black leather book in his hand. "I am here to inform you that your contract is no longer valid and has been revoked."
I don't understand. I have a deal. It can't just be revoked."
Alfredo looked at Allison. She looked back, confused. "Yes, Mr. Barnes, you had a deal. There are some irregularities with some of the contracts, and yours has been revoked." He smiled even more broadly. "Have a wonderful afternoon." The man's head fell forward. Then his body jerked back, it vibrated, and the surface writhed with small movements. Then his head came up slightly, his body seemed to shift, to lose solidity. It fell forward without really hitting the ground. Instead, it disintegrated into a black mass, a mass that writhed and squirmed. Then thousands of flies burst from the pile. They swarmed forward, around Alfredo, then they dropped until they littered the hallway. Alfredo looked at the dying flies that scattered the floor. He stood still, frozen, looking at what had been a man, then fetched back Allison's hand. "Come on, let's go in." But she pulled her hand back. "What's going on? What the hell's going on?" "It's nothing, I'll explain. Let's just get out of the hallway." He reached for her hand. She pulled back. She saw Alfredo held Misty's leash. "Who the fuck are you, and why are you holding my dog's leash?" Allison's voice rose to a hyper pitch as fear and anger struggled for control. Alfredo looked at her, confused. He looked down at his hand and back at the dog. Then slowly, he handed the leash to her. "I don't understand. I thought..." "What did you think? Who the hell are you, and why are you in my building?" He looked at her, into her eyes, that moment that held something. Love? Maybe, or the promise of it? But now, not a hint of recognition in her eyes. "I'm Alfredo," he said quietly.
"I don't know you. Get the fuck out of here. I'm going to call the cops."
Her eyes blazed with anger. He moved a step toward her, arms coming up. Her eyes widened and flooded with fear.
"No, stay back."
He stopped. His arms sank to his sides. He turned and walked down the stairs. Behind him, he heard Allison scrambling to get the keys out and into the lock. He pushed open the door and walked down the stairs and out of the building onto the street. Once on the street, he started walking with no destination in mind. What did it mean his contract was revoked? What would that change? Was his soul still the judge's? He walked, his head down. When he looked up, he was in the park, standing in front of the spot where he left the man. He hadn't noticed when he'd passed the yellow police tape. There was no one guarding the site. He looked around him, then down at the pile of leaves. He stood still. The park came to life with people walking their dogs. He watched them walk. Then a hand grasped his shoulder. It was a young cop, and he was talking to him. He was angry. He was talking on his radio on his shoulder, then back at him. Alfredo looked at him, not understanding. He couldn't hear anything. It was quiet. He looked at the cop calmly. Then suddenly, everything cleared. The cold night air, the park noises, and the cop's angry voice. Alfredo looked at the cop, looked into his eyes, waited for the confusion, waited to be forgotten. The cop kept yelling. He pulled at Alfredo's arm, but he wasn't forgetting him. Alfredo looked around as the cop led him back across the yellow tape. People with dogs looked at him. They saw him. They saw him. The realization shocked him. He looked at the eyes around him. They saw him and remembered him. He yanked his arm free and ran. Behind him, he could hear the cop yelling for him to stop. He kept running. Everywhere, there were eyes that saw him. He was seen for the first time. There was nowhere to hide. He slowed. Something was wrong. It was quiet, very quiet. He looked at the eyes around him. He stopped. There was heat, a bright white burning in his stomach. His shirt was wet with sweat. He touched his stomach. He felt the wetness. He lifted his hand up. His fingers glistened darkly. Suddenly he was sitting. His legs splayed out in front of him. He frowned, not knowing how he'd got there. Around him, people looked at him. They watched him. It was cold. His head rolled forward on his chest. He was no longer cold. He was sleepy. He wondered what hell was going to be like.
Tune in next week for The Ride, another story from a hard place. Music by Noah Zachron. Production copyright R.A. Jacobson 2020. If you're enjoying this book and would rather not wait for each installment, consider purchasing the complete audiobook on iTunes, Audible, or wherever you purchase your audiobooks. If you'd like the book version, either ebook or print, you can find it on Amazon. You can find links to all these and much more at Dead Cat Studio. That's deadcatstud.io. Thanks for listening. Keep the shiny side up.